to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth here in exquisite Hotel Candelaria, stove crew number two, numero dos. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Sean.
My name is Sean Tennant from Holly, Michigan.
Dawn Tennant from Holly, Michigan.
Stuart Nice from Campbell, California.
Eric Schneider from Shelby Township, Michigan.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is day four of our work days.
Thursday.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it gone by quickly for you, or is it gone by slowly for you?
Quickly.
Quickly.
Very quick.
Why does it feel quick?
It's Thursday?
Yeah.
And it's... You feel like you want to get a lot more done.
Why is that?
Because there's a lot more to be done.
Mm.
A lot more people to help.
So the more you do, the more need you're aware of, and the more you feel like you want to do more?
Yes.
Interesting. You're nodding your head as well, Dawn.
I've never been so humbled as I was today.
Why? What
happened? Well, I have been every day. Today brought me to my knees. Seeing the conditions that some people live in, and yet they are so special. They're so kind, giving, generous, loving, appreciative.
Prideful.
Prideful in their home.
Proud of. Not prideful in a bad way, but like proud of.
What they have.
What they have.
In their settings and.
I think one of the most disturbing things for me still, but really when I first started working in these communities, is how can they be so filled with joy when there's so much to be sad about? Like, that was really, really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. We were given some beautiful gifts the last few days. Whether it's fruit, a cold bottle of water, a hand-painted beautiful picture, hand-woven hats for babies.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, yeah.
Which, for those who haven't been here, sounds like a very simple thing, but it's a pretty expensive, lavish gift because the price of a Coca-Cola could be close to what they're making per person per day.
Correct.
$1.50 per day is some of these homes, that's what they're making per person per day. So that's
why it's hard gift. it's very, you look at it like it's a very, very thoughtful gesture from them. I mean, way above what you expect.
What did you expect, Sean? I'm really curious. This is your first year here. You'd heard about this trip. You'd heard about Guatemala and some of the conditions. But I know you've been impacted. You've mentioned that. What were you expecting? How is it different?
I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I tried to get a visual of what it was like here. You know, town-wise, street-wise, it's fast-paced on the streets. Everybody's up early and running. There's just, I didn't know what to expect, and so seeing it and being part of it, it's been great. I mean, it really has. It's, I mean, we can just put it all away and go back to our lives that we know, you know, and then you feel almost guilty that you can, because you want to almost bring them with you, the families you touch and you come in contact with. kind of want to, like, be more, I don't know, do more for them. Because they were so appreciative of the small little things that we look at as the small, but they're looking at as huge. Mm-hmm. I guess you could equate it to building somebody a home, like Habitat for Humanity or something like that. But,
It was just so far out of our world that, you know, the poverty is just so intense that you go in and you see it and you live in it for an hour, but then you come out and it's like, I can't bring myself back into it until we go into the next house, because it's just so, it's so different. Mm.
It's hard, as someone else mentioned earlier, it's hard to imagine. It's literally hard to think there are billions of people who are living on dirt floors still today, mm-hmm. 2017. Yeah. Billions.
Yeah, I mean, you see the pictures and you hear the stories, but until you go into the home and you spend an hour or an hour and a half there and talk with the people and live in it, you can't relate to it.
How about you, Eric? Your expectations, how are they different from the reality? What surprised you?
I guess what surprised me was just the difference between the ultra poverty and the lavishness within a mile or two. We saw some of downtown, which was, you know, fabulous hotels and beautiful things, and then a mile or two away, people are living in just such complete poverty and subsistence and, you know, very poor health conditions. That was hard to see. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to see that. The extremes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And Stuart, I know, has traveled around the world. I've done some travel as well. And every place that I've been where there's been extreme poverty, there's been extreme wealth. Like, right next to it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
yeah.
thinking of India, for example.
Yeah.
And it is disconcerting. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground or middle class. It's mm-hmm. It just seems to be an all or nothing kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess the difference for me, I mean, I've been to India, and I guess that was one of the things that made me want to do some kind of mission work, is to do something. But I didn't get in and actually be with families and see how they really lived. I just saw from a distance. So
right.
This was a real opportunity to experience what it is like.
Yeah, and like in India, it's pretty hard to find a 1 or 2 star hotel. It's usually a 4 or yes. 5 star hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's nothing in between, you know, mm-hmm. and Americans wouldn't tolerate, I think a lot of tourists wouldn't tolerate a 1 or 2 star hotel in a developing country.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right, you kind of see it from afar,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of wonder what it's like. And we are incredibly blessed that we're welcomed into their homes and into their lives in such an intimate way, you know, here. Stuart, like I said, you've traveled. Do you see similarities here? I know you were recently in India. Do you see similarities here? I guess the question would be, what are some similarities amongst developing countries, and what are some differences that you've noticed?
Well, it's been more than 10 years since I was there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's my passport. My visa ran out. Like, what? I can't go to India without going back to... But when we were in the, you know, away from the cities, it's the same. Cause instead of burning wood, they're burning cow pies and grass. And, it's, you know, they don't have facilities. They don't, you know, there's... But they're happy, and at least the Christians that I met in both places have a strong faith, and they know it's not, they're not of this world, like the bumper sticker says in America, when we're very of this world. So yeah, the similarities are the joy in the midst of lack and continuing lack, and probably the potential that it's not going to get much better in my lifetime. So, but they all, I think they all have hope for their children. And I think that's the neat thing about the projects we're working in right now, is they're looking long term. They're looking and saying, okay, what can we do to help this generation help the next generation to be able to be ahead of where they are of substance, just day to day, trying to get a couple dollars to eat today, so they can have a little bit less tension in their lives.
Stuart, you and your church launched a partnership program with Corazón de los Niños, their Heart of the Children. They're our host organization here. You launched a child sponsorship program with them. It was a new project for you and them. Mm-hmm. You started with a small group of 30 children. And tell us a little bit about that and how the communication goes between you and the project here, and just how that works.
Sure. So people from our congregation and some from our school give $30 a month to sponsor specific children, but those specific children are helped with things they need to be able to stay in school, but it really helps the family. And so anybody that's involved in that family is going to really be helped by this. And so we wanted to do a pilot program, so to speak, with this. But Lillian, the director, emails us sometimes every other week, kind of, you know,
wow.
if there's an event or if there's something new happening. She takes pictures, and we get pictures, so they just had their grades come out in school, and so she sends us their grades, and the kids are doing well. So that's fun. And then over Christmas holidays, the Christmas holidays, they had an event for all the children, gave them some presents, and then they go back to school in January, so they all need shoes and uniforms to go to school here in Guatemala. So they're all provided those things. So it was neat to see that there's certain things they don't have to worry about right now. But Lillian was talking last night about one of the parts of the program was they were teaching the people how to save money, which is not part of the culture. And so they're taught to save a quetzali a day, actually, which is a lot. I mean, you're talking a lot. Yeah, it's a lot for them. But to see even the pictures last night, which she has shown us as well, that they come with their 30 quetzales to put in the bank, and they have record of that. So they're actually getting a little margin in their life. Because that's the thing, you know, every crisis is a crisis of, you know, large magnitude, because there's nothing to cover. You can't go to the doctor. You can't, you know, those kind of things. So we're getting a lot of information from Lillian, a lot of pictures. We're not individually showing the people. It's like your child, and this is what your child's doing, but as a group. Every other month, I've been pulling together her newsletters and translating them and getting them in so the people can see what is happening with the project.
You said she's been really consistent with that. That's a lot of communication.
It is.
We've helped launch a few child sponsorship programs, and that's a big effort. And she's the director.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like she doesn't have anything to do.
Five or six villages in yeah, clinics and all stuff. But she's very conscientious. That's the one thing we've learned from her in the last couple of years. She's very conscientious when people give the organization monies to be used for things. She makes that money go a long, long way. And she gives a serious accounting for every single penny.
She does.
And you know, I think that's just miraculous because we've given to a lot of things. And you just hope that the project gets done. And it does. But we've, especially here in Guatemala over the years, we've sponsored a lot of projects that, though some of them were completed, others weren't. But even the ones that were completed ended up being abandoned later. By just, you know, from circumstances of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is seems like a much better investment of our gifts.
Yeah, and so they're looking to expand your pilot program.
Yes.
And this is all kind of happening this week, and so we don't know if there's going to be how many children will be available, but if they are and there's someone who wants to get more information about this, do you have a website or something that they can visit?
We do. On our church website, we have the sponsorship program page, and you can choose a child from there. These next 50 children that we're going to put up, they'll get on the page, and you can click a child that looks cute to you, and it'll lead you right to a place where you can give now. And we put you on a one-year automatic payment program, and that way you don't have to think about it. And we know these kids will be taken care of. And just as an aside, for those who haven't sponsored before, especially if you're here, you really establish a relationship with your sponsored child. The sponsorship is basically a godparentage, so they call you godfather and godmother. If you ever wanted to be a godfather, this is a good place to start. But they really take it seriously because you're actually caring for them, and just as you would if somebody asked you to be a godparent in their life. And I think that's pretty neat, to be a godparent to some child. So.
And you can come visit them.
And you can come visit them. With some of the people from our church and school are coming for the first time this year because they want to see their child sponsored. Yeah. So that's kind of a neat thing, to see their kids.
And I also want to let everyone know that this is a unique program because 100% of your donation goes directly to the program. Like Stuart said, it doesn't go to the child specifically. The child's already receiving these services from the organization, Corazón de los Niños. Your money's going to the organization to support all the children that are part of the program, but the child represents one of the children that are being served there, and 100% of your donation goes, a tax-deductible donation goes directly there, and that's very rare because it's a lot of work to do what Stuart and his staff are doing, volunteering to make that happen. So do you have a website they can go to if people are interested?
It's valleylife.org, and just hit valleylife.org.
Valleylife.org, and then
you'll see child sponsorship somewhere on that page.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it lately.
And we'll put it in the show notes, so you can just click on the show notes and go there as well. So if you've ever thought about maybe sponsoring a child, everyone around this table can attest to the children that are in this program are worthy of your love and your support. And it's an incredible opportunity. We're really excited that they started this last year and that they're able to continue and expand it. It's just very, very exciting. Dawn and Sean, you two have a fascinating story of how you got here, and I would love for you to share that story because it is truly a story of divine intervention.
Scott Clark is our pastor at our church, Mount Bethel of Holly, and he shared with us at a Bible study one evening, very briefly, about his experience here 4 years ago. And we went home after that Bible study, and Sean looked up Now Is the Time Mission on the internet. We watched you, Sean, on the video. And for about 3 days, we were, it's about all we could think about. We get home from work and look at some more things, ask some more questions of Scott. And I think it was day four, after praying and having this just be with us every day, we said, okay, we'll go. And it felt like kind of stepping off a mountain in faith, like, okay, we're going to take the leap. And that was for us. Then once we decided, that was it. We were completely focused on it. And we didn't really know what to expect other than what Scott shared with us. And kind of doing a little more research in that, and then we just left it in God's hands and went, empty me, don't have expectations, go with a heart full of love. And we have received so much more love back since we've been here. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so friendly. Everyone says hello to you. Everyone makes eye contact. Buenos dias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody. Mm-hmm. You pass on the street, right?
Everybody. I mean, well, 90%, 95% of the people will say buenos dias, buenos tardes, whatever. Would always, I mean, they acknowledge you. It's a very, that's part of it is so fun. Well, not fun, but very intriguing and thrilling. And you see so much walking from home to home, all the people along the streets, everything that's happening. So, yeah, everybody's just very inviting and friendly. And not to give me a dollar. I haven't seen one person back for money. Everybody doesn't expect anything. They just are very open and true, honest people. I mean, really real, real people, real heart. Hmm.
Well, I love that story because I think many people feel that in order to be called by God, it's this megaphone moment, you know, or maybe they're driven to the ground and they God reaches into the mire and lifts them out of their suffering, and it's this, you know, angel singing in this big aha moment. When in fact, most people that I know who have been called to this kind of work, it's more of a whisper and a nudge and just kind of a happenstance. Seem just like just by chance. It seems like we just happened to mention this, and I happened to hear it, and I happened to remember it when I got home and look it up on the internet, and I. But in fact, there's a divinity in that path that now, I mean, Don's shaking your head big time here. Now you can see, you know, with hindsight, it's 20/20 vision that this is exactly where God called you to be. But it's so subtle when it starts.
And it doesn't go away.
And it doesn't go away. Right. No, Eric was also nodding his head when we were talking about this. This is similar to your experience as well, Eric?
Yeah, well, as I said, when I was in India, I felt the need to do something, and that was years ago. But, you know, life takes over and you don't have time. And I thought, well, okay, I was retiring. Now I will have some time. And I was thinking more and more about it. Unfortunately, I had some medical issues that just put a stop in my life, and I thought, will I ever get the chance to do it? Mm. And it seemed like things were, you know, I had a window of time, and okay, I'm going to sign up, and we'll see what happens, and lo and behold, you know, here I am.
Mm. Praise God.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear a lot of people around this table tell me it's so hard to remember what happened 2 days ago, you know, let alone a week ago. And it happens when you get back, too. You know, you try and remember, like, that special thing that happened on Thursday or on Monday. It's really hard. It's one of the reasons why we try to do these interviews, so that maybe you can have some of those memories and save them and share them. So what is something that has happened the past few days that you don't want to forget 2 years from now? What is something that you don't want to lose, either that feeling or the memory of a person or a sense of Guatemala, whatever that means for you? Maybe it's a moment, an experience. Maybe it's just a mindset or a thought. What's something that you don't want to forget about this experience?
The generosity of the people. Yesterday, we met a woman. Her name's Sonia, and her son's name is Jose. And they were at a home that we were installing a stove. And Jose's 11, and even though it wasn't their home, he was the one we got to put the sombrero up top. And he was so thrilled to do it. But his mother, Sonia, she wanted to help us carry our wares, if you will, our tools. She wanted to help while we were there. And then we left that home and went to her home. And same thing, really wanted to interact. And it wasn't standing back. She knew a little bit of English, and I understood a little bit of Spanish. And it was very personal between the two of us. She wanted to know what I did for a living. She wanted to know, how many children do I have? How many grandbabies do I have? Showed her some pictures. And we loved Jose. He's very smart. He showed us some schoolwork that he's done. And that was very impactful to me.
Yeah, he touched me. You know, just because I saw him, and, you know, saw him as he had a new pair of Vans on, I think, and he had to climb up on his roof at his home, and me wanting to help him and do it, because I wanted to go up there. I didn't want to see him get hurt, because I knew where he could be. He has that gift to keep going further. I see him, you know. Great little kid.
Yeah, so when we're talking about going on the roof, so the chimney has a little hat that goes over it to protect the rain from falling into the tomb. They call it the sombrero, which is hat in Spanish. And so we know that the roofs are too fragile for us huge gringos to be climbing on the roof. And so we usually find a small child to scramble up there and throw the hat on the sombrero. So that's why we've got kids going up on the roofs.
Right.
Which they do every week anyway. Yeah.
Right, but I just knew he had his new shoes on, and he was really excited about them. Right. And I just, okay, I can fall and get hurt, and okay, fine, I can get fixed, hopefully. But I knew his shoes, for him to get another pair of shoes, is going to be harder than me getting myself repaired.
Not on my watch. That's the problem. He says that's the problem.
So I'm glad Stuart's here to keep me in, under OSHA law.
Number times.
Yeah, number of times. Very much.
One of the things that happened over and over with us is we would be installing a stove, and then the person who lived nearby who was going to get a stove installed would come by. And rather than us following our schedule, they would be trying to pull us to get to their house so that they could get their stove installed. Everyone is, you know, so much in desire to have this stove that they are, you know, okay, here I am, I'm next. Please come to my house and please help me out. And, you know, there's such enthusiasm for, you know, the work that is being done, and they are so appreciative. That's something I won't forget.
Right.
Something you want to remember, Stuart?
I don't know. I just get the... I've been able to relive it over and over year after year. But it all does blur. You know, we're trying to figure out, when was that? What year did this? And who was here? And these families. I think one thing that is nice, especially when you come back to a village that you've been to before, is you see people that you know. And, you know, a number of people I saw this week that we had installed a stove last year and was able to re-engage them. How are you doing? How are the kids? And what's going on with your life? And it's nice to feel like you're building a relationship with the people. You're not just doing a job. It's like, well, we're just doing a job with random people. We're actually building a relationship. It's slow and steady. And when, you know, we come back year after year, which is part of the genius of Now is the Time mission, we're not just like, there's need everywhere, so let's go to a different village every year just to help villagers, which we could do probably around the world. But we're building a relationship, and we're willing to work the same field until we see a harvest here. And I think that's a neat part of this mission and people we sponsor here.
The other thing I see about this mission is they have a vested interest as well. It's not just like, here's some money, throw money at the problem, it'll get fixed. They take a huge interest in it as well. And look out for each other. And they kind of run who's doing what and who's going to get this next. And that's what I really liked about everything.
Yeah, there's true ownership. I mean, literal ownership, as I was sharing last night. You know, we have a list of maybe 120 to 125 families who qualify for the stove, who are interested in receiving the stove. They have to pay something. There's nothing is a free gift. Everything, they have to pay a little something, usually 10-15% of the total value. We don't get that money. That goes to the project. We pay for the full stove. But then on top of that, the group of volunteers who are members of the organization receiving the benefits, they are the ones. There's at least 9 of them, so there'll never be a tie in the vote. I mean, they've thought all of this out. That they are the ones who sit down with that 125 families and decide which of the 84 are going to get a stove this year, which have the greatest need. Because that this year, that's our capacity. That's as much as we're able to give is 84 stoves for this week, for this village. And the list needs to be prioritized somehow, and they do that. They know their community much better than we do, and they know who's got the greatest need and who's trying to game the system. So we're so blessed that there is that ownership, their true ownership. And interestingly enough, the ones who are the most active in that volunteer directiva, they call it directiva, it's like a council, the ones who are most active are the ones who have benefited the most over the years. They are the ones in the least amount of need now, and they're wanting to give back and pay that forward. It's truly a privilege to work with them.
Oh, yeah, and thanks, because it's great to see and be part of it. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not just throw money at the problem and have it go away. I did my part. There you go. Out of sight, out of mind. Next year, yeah, I mean, it's just, I wish we could stay out there like from whatever, 5:30, 6 o'clock till darkness at 6 o'clock. I mean, honestly, you know, but I know there's X amount of material. So, okay, next year, no, that's my goal is to pump up another 20, throw another 20 stoves at it. So,
yeah. Or you can just come another week.
No, but you need the money to purchase the stoves and that's the floors. True. So that's why we need the people, like people I know, that are going to hear from me. So
good.
Just awesome. Saying. It's great. Well, thank you. Thank you to all of those who can hear my voice, who supported those around this table to make it possible for them to come. We're truly honored and blessed. And thank you all for answering God's call, as subtle as it may be, as long of the time as it may have taken for that to finally happen. We really appreciate your faithfulness. And I want to, I've said it before and I'll say it again, we are truly humbled and honored to partner with our dear brother in Christ, Pastor Stuart Nice, and his church and his school and his family, who comes every year. We just could not dream of asking God for greater partners in doing his work in the kingdom. It's just an honor. So thank you all for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala, and thank you for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.